more time. Hopefully it can be a blessing and a help to you. Turn tonight to the book of Joshua, if you would please. Book of Joshua, chapter number 6, where I want to turn our attention just for a little bit. Hopefully it can be a blessing and an encouragement and a help to you one more time tonight through God's Word. Joshua, chapter 6. Begin our reading in verse 1. Very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Joshua, chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the river ward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing up the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about at once. They came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear ward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing at the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and turned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew at the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hath hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that you just empty me of self and selfish desire, of any thought of vainglory. Help me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me good focus tonight as I preach. Give me good liberty of thought and clarity of speech. I pray that you do your perfect work through your perfect word. May I be an encouragement and a help to your people tonight. And for everything you do, we'll do our best to give you the praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. As you have been competing all week, it's been pretty cool to observe something. Nobody likes losing. Fair statement? I mean, when you're running really fast. When you're shouting really loud, and you want to beat those losers over there. And you want to beat those horrible people over there. And you want to beat that riffraff over there. Everybody wants to win. If we're having some kind of a competition and you don't despise losing, please don't be on my team. I don't like losing. Nobody likes losing. And that's actually a reflection of the God who made us and what he expects of us. Psalm 98:1 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Our God's a God of victory. And he expects us, his children, to mimic him in that. He doesn't expect us to pout like victims here and then parade like victors in heaven. Oh, my Christian life is just so hard. And I don't know if I'm going to survive. Woe is me, to God be the glory. If you're doing that now, well, make sure you think you have any right to shout when you get into heaven. Listen, we ought to be victorious children of God here in this life. One of the most picturesque books of victory in the Old Testament is the book of Joshua. Even in picture form, it's perfect for the subject. It's reasonable to picture Egypt as the sin from which God has delivered us. The Jordan River is the barrier between our old life of sin and defeat and our new life in God's will. And Canaan as the Christian life in which we strive each day for victory. And the chapter we read shows one of the greatest victories of all time. But before I tell you about that victory, let me tell you about a story from more modern times. Every year, Australia hosts a 543.7-mile endurance race. It's a long way. It stretches from Sydney to Melbourne. It's considered the world's most grueling ultramarathon. The race takes 5 days to complete, and it's normally only attempted by world-class athletes who train specially for the event. These athletes are typically less than 30 years old and backed by large companies like Nike and Under Armour. Well, in 1983... competitors are there getting signed up, and somebody else shows up. His name was Cliff Young, and he wasn't young, except in name. In fact, he was 61 years old. This guy showed up, and he's dressed not like a racer, not in compression shorts and tight shirts and Nikes and shoes, that kind of thing. He's dressed in bib overalls and galoshes, rubber work boots. He comes up to the table, and he says, "Where do I sign up?" They said, "For what?" He said, "For the race." They laughed. They thought he was kidding. Then they realized he wasn't laughing. They said, "What do you mean?" I'm here to sign up for the race. "You can't sign up for this race. How old are you, old man?" "I'm 61 years old. This is a 543-mile race. You can't sign up for this race. You're going to die out there." He said, "No, I think I can probably do it." See, when I was growing up, we had 2,000 acres and 2,000 sheep. We were poor and didn't have any sheepdogs, so I was the sheepdog. He said, "Whenever there's a storm rolling in, Daddy sent me out there, and I had to run down all the sheep, all 2,000 of them, and bring them in like I was a sheepdog. And sometimes it took me 3 or 4 days to do it, and I think I can probably do it." I said, "Your funeral, old man." Signed him up, and he wandered out there and got in the middle of the other racers, and they're looking at him. And then they realized he's serious as he can be, and they just stopped laughing and shake their head. The race gun sounds, and everybody starts running, and then everybody started laughing again, because this old hick potato farmer who was wearing the galoshes and the bib overalls didn't even know how to run. Everybody else out there doing this number, he's going, just shuffling, not even hardly raising his feet off the ground, got his hands by his side, and he's just shuffling. Some reporters walk out there to where he's shuffling his race, like, "Oh man, What are you doing?" "I'm running the race." You don't even know how to run. What are you doing?" He said, I'll be all right." Everybody just laughed, because, I mean, there's no way a 61-year-old potato farmer in bib overalls and galoshes is going to even finish the race, much less win. We'll come back to that story in just a bit. And here's my title for the message, minus the very last word. I'll give you the last word at the end of the message. The title of the message is, God's way always makes sense. Say that with me. God's way always makes sense. Notice, first of all, a big problem. Joshua 6:1 says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." Now we have all who have been raised in church heard about Jericho and the Battle of Jericho all our lives since we were little bitty kids in Sunday school. We even sing about it. Sing with me here. "Josh fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Josh fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down." You know what it is? That's independent Baptist rap. That's what it is, right? That's independent Baptist rap. Nearest thing we come to that, Josh fought the battle of Jericho. I mean, it's a famous song, and we've sung about this. We've known about this story just for absolutely forever. But please allow me from archaeology to fill in some of the details about what Israel was facing as they began the process of conquering the city. There were two walls around the city in a double enclosure made of mud and brick. The outside wall rested on top of a stone base. They were huge in size, and there was a natural spring system in the city constantly supplying fresh water. It was the key of the eastern pass through a deep ravine into the interior of Palestine. In other words, to get anywhere in the land, you had to go through Jericho. It was a defensive fort, and as such, it was heavily fortified. Had the best soldiers, best armaments, the strongest walls, best provisions, all designed to make sure that it would not fall. So they cross the river, and there's this giant city that they can't get around or through. Pretty big problem. I got a question. How many of you have ever had in your life a really big problem that there didn't seem to be an answer for? Anybody out there? Hands are going to fall over the building. You know you had big problems there did not seem to be an answer for. Well, they did. It's a big problem. Then notice number two, a bold promise. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. God said, see, I have given you all this. Now, I'm going to need some help for now and for the rest of the message. I need a really energetic young man, and there's something in it for you. I need a really energetic young man. Who can help me for a $20 bill? Anybody? JD, I appreciate that. We know who values the dollar. I appreciate JD being here. I want to work on a little bit of a grammar lesson for you. All right. All right. See, $20 bill, correct? $20 bill. All right. See, I have given you the $20 bill. Is there a problem?
I don't have the $20 bill.
You don't have the $20 bill. Well, I said I've given it to you. So, is there a problem?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
You haven't given me the $20
bill. Smart young man right here. God says, see, I've given you the city. This middle section right here, that's city. That's Jericho. You can see the walls around your mind. See all those soldiers? Ugly soldiers. See all those soldiers over there? God says, see, I have given you the city. Got a question. What do you still see?
People.
People. Soldiers, right? You still see walls?
No.
Come on, you see walls.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, see walls. Thank you very much. I didn't have time to build walls for the message. You got to work on it. So still see soldiers. Still see walls. And God says, see, I've given you that. Now, from our human perspective, technically, had God given it to him yet? From a human perspective, it's still there, so the answer's no. So technically, from a human perspective, God hadn't given it to him yet. But you see, when God says something, even if it hasn't happened yet, it's an absolute sure thing. So he says, I've given you that. Now, I'm going to give you this. This is yours, but you got to help me the rest of the message. Deal?
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hang on. Very great. So we've got a big problem. We got a bold problem, a bold promise. And then there's number three, a bewildering plan. Now, when God made his promise to Joshua, he's made it. It's a done deal. But now, all that's left are the details. Here were the details, starting in verse 3. Ye shall compass, surround, go around the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall they do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast of ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout the great shout. The wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now, I'm going to be in the position of God giving the instructions, and you get to be Joshua. All right. So Joshua, here's the battle plan. All right, here's the battle plan, Joshua. Jericho. Big, gigantic, huge walls, stone walls, double system walls, soldiers in there. Joshua, we need to defeat this city. Here's my plan for defeating this city. You're going to walk around it. That seems just a little bit odd to you?
Yeah.
Seems a little odd to you, doesn't it? That's not the way war usually works, is it?
No.
You expect to hear things like, we're going to knock the walls down, we're going to dig under them, we're going to vault over them. God says, no. My plan is, you're just going to walk. You're just going to take a walk. I'm going to give you that. Hardest city to beat in the land. All you got to do is walk around it. Makes no sense, does it?
No.
None. No sense whatsoever. Well, let's see how Joshua did with all that. Verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. Let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city. Let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. It came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bring the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets. The ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rear reward came after the ark, the priests going on blowing at the trumpets. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed, surrounded, went around the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp, and they lodged in the camp. So you got armed men out front marching. You got the priest of God next carrying the ark. You got the other participants, the rear reward coming behind. Nobody speaking, just some trumpets sounding, and you, Joshua, you and your people are taking a lap around the city. Now, here's Jericho, right? I'm going to need you to go that way, open those doors, come around, open those doors. I need you to make a lap around that city and come back and see me. Can you do that? Quickest you can. Go ahead. Now, the length of the message is going to be determined by how long it takes him to go around the city. So you can walk if you want to, but I recommend you jog or something because we don't want to be here all night. So Joshua is now heading around the city with all the people. He is cocking that door open. He forgot to cock the door open. He's going to have to open it every single time. Basically, he's going to cock the door open. So he's going to somebody cock the doors open for him next time. Appreciate that. All right, here we go. So Joshua is now back from his first trip around the city. Hey, Joshua, what's going on, man? You doing all right?
Yeah.
What you doing?
Walking around the city.
You're what? Wait. Why are you walking around? And I'm a person now. Why are you walking around the city? Why are you walking around Jericho?
I was told to by God.
Wait, seriously? God told you to walk around the city? Why?
Because he told me to do it.
What did he say was going to happen?
Didn't say anything.
He did say something. What did he say was going to happen?
Walls fall down.
So God said the walls are going to fall down by you just walking around it?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Apparently.
And you believe him?
Try to.
Okay. I got a question. You've already walked around the city, right?
Once.
Yeah. Do the walls still look pretty good to you? Any cracks?
No.
Are all the soldiers still there?
Yep.
Let's see, verse 14. And the second day, they compassed the city once. Day two. Take off. Here we go. That's what I'm talking about. He's getting the idea right here. Got to hurry. So Joshua and the men are now going around the city one time. Here he comes, man. Hey, Joshua, my man. What's going on? You doing all right? What's up? What you doing these days?
Taking a lap.
Take a lap where?
Around the wall of Jericho.
Why?
Command by God.
Your God told you to go around the city?
Yep.
Seriously? That's so weird. What did he say was going to happen?
Walls fall down.
By you just walking?
Apparently.
Dude, do you see the cracks in the walls? Any bricks falling off?
Nope.
Are all the soldiers still there?
Apparently.
Let's see here. So they did. 6 days. Day three. Take off. Here we go. Hey, Joshua, my man. What's up?
Yeah? Yeah.
You're a little winded there, man. What you doing these days?
Running around.
Run around where?
Walls, Jericho.
Why?
Walls fall down.
Whoa. Walls fall down. Where'd you get the idea? Where'd you get the idea the walls are going to fall down?
God told me.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Your God told you walls are going to fall down just by you walking around it.
Yes.
Dude, I hate to break your heart, but I'm looking at the walls. You seen the same walls I'm seeing?
I see them.
You see any cracks in the walls?
Nope.
Any bricks falling off?
Nope.
Any soldiers giving up?
Nope.
Day four. Joshua, my man. What's up, man?
I know, running around.
Running around where?
Walls Jericho.
What? Walls Jericho?
Yep.
Have you done this before?
Many times.
How many times have you been around the wall so far?
Lost count.
Four. Don't make it any harder on yourself, man. You've been on the wall. Why have you run around the city four times?
God told me to.
Your God told. What did he say was going to happen?
Walls fall down.
Like just from you walking around them?
Yeah.
Dude, you see any problems with those walls? Any cracks in them?
Nope.
They shaking or anything?
Nope.
Any bricks falling off?
Nope.
Any soldiers giving up? Day four. Day five, here we go. Joshua, my man. What's up? What you doing these days?
Running around? Yep.
Running around where?
Walls Jericho.
What? Why are you running around the walls of Jericho?
Bodily exercise.
Bodily exercise? Anything else to that?
Well, God told me to.
God told you to?
Yep.
Any particular reason?
Walls will fall down and bodily exercise.
Walls. So, wait a minute. Seriously, your God told you if you just walk around the walls that they're going to fall?
Yes.
Like flat? Like, yep. Like fall?
Dude,
you see anything wrong with the walls? Any nope. Cracks? Cracks? No. Bricks falling on?
Perfect. Still on there.
Soldiers still? Does this make any sense to you at all?
No.
That was day five, right? I think.
Yeah.
Five, I think. Yeah. Okay. Six. Take off. Here we go. Do Joshua, my man. Seems like it's been 2 or 3 minutes since I saw you, man. Where have you been doing these days?
Running around.
Running around where?
Walls.
Jericho? Those walls?
Yep.
Why?
God told me to.
God told. Why did he tell you to walk around the walls?
He said they would fall.
From you walking?
What, running?
Running? So just by making laps around the city, the wall's going to fall?
Yep.
You trust your God?
Yeah.
What? I'm looking at the walls. Are you looking at the walls?
Yeah.
Any cracks in them?
Nope.
Bricks falling off?
Nope.
Are you making any progress? It seemed like. None. I mean, none of that. No. No soldiers giving up. Dude, you've been at this 6 days.
Yep.
6 days. Nothing has happened at all. Does that make any sense to you?
Nope.
Let's see here. And it came to pass, verse 15, on the seventh day, that they rose early by the dawning of the day and encompassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Take off. Here we go. Do, 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 do. Now we find out what kind of energy he really has. Now's where he earns that $20. He's coming around. He's coming around. Here he comes. There is one lap. Do I cross here? There is one lap. He's coming around. Keep on going. There's one. Just one of you, but keep on going. That's only one. That's only one. That's only one. We got to keep on going, man. Come on, man. Come on, Joshua. Let's go here. He's coming around again. He's coming around. She'll be coming around the mountain when he comes. There's two. He'll be coming around. Keep on going. He'll be coming around the mountain when he comes. Come on. That's only two. That's only two. That's only two. Come on, man. You got to go. You got to go. You got 7 laps to go. He'll be coming around the mountain. He'll be coming around the mountain. He'll be coming around the mountain when he comes. That's only three. Keep on going. Very good. He's got the idea now. There you go. He's going around. There's three. He's round to see. He's coming for the fourth lap. Here we go. He's working on that fourth lap. I mean, he is coming around. He's slowing down, but he's really going. There's four. He's throwing off the weights. He's coming around now. He's going for lap number five. He's cheering him on. Cheer him on. He's going for lap number five. He's going for lap number five. He's coming around. He's coming around. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's starting on lap number six. I mean, this is lap number six. He's rounding the corner. Coming around for lap number six. He's tired, but he's still going. I mean, he's coming. He's got lap numbers. One more lap. 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 One more. He's coming. Yeah. My man. But we're not quite done yet. Because the wall's still there, because there's something everybody got to do. The Bible says after they finish that seventh time, that all the people shouted. So on the count of three, you got to help the walls. You ready? One, two, three. Woo! And the walls came tumbling down. It makes no sense at all. Let me tell you when it really didn't make sense to the guys going around the walls. They go around there that first day. Everybody there in Jericho is looking at them going, okay, here's the Israeli soldiers. They're going to attack us in a minute. Here they are. And they don't say anything. They don't shoot an arrow. Don't throw a spear. They just walk and then they go back home. Guys in Jericho going, what in the world is going on? They come back out the second day. They're not saying anything. They just make a lap. Sure. Okay, they're back. This time they're surely going to attack. And they don't. They come around, nothing happens. By the third day, people in Jericho going, they're not serious. They can't be. This isn't a real battle. They just walk around again. Well, and it's making no sense to anybody. Doesn't make sense to the people in the city. Doesn't make sense to people outside the city walking around it. Fourth day, same thing, and now they're here. Is this the mighty Israeli army? This is the best you can do. Your God is so powerful. He's having you walk around the walls. What do you think you're going to do? Kill us from dust being stirred up? And they go back. Fifth day, they're coming. Same thing. Here they come again. And it makes no sense. Sixth day, oh, look. It's the walking army. And then the seventh day, they get up real early. And so, hey, whoa, whoa, they're outside the walls again. It's early. Yeah, they're going around the walls. Here they come again. Oh, look, there they go. They're going back to camp. Wait. Oh, wait a minute. They're making another lap today. Still didn't make any sense because there's no cracks in the wall. There's no bricks falling, no nothing. They make the lap around the second time. Nothing's happening. Oh, now they're really here. Now, I mean, they're getting mocked. They're getting made fun of. Their God's getting blasphemed. They come around a third time. It still makes zero sense because there's not a crack in the wall. Nothing shakens. Nothing is falling. Everything is just exactly like it has been. They make it around the third time. They come around the fourth time. They are hearing it. They're probably having rotten tomatoes thrown at them over the wall, but they make that fourth lap and nothing's happening, but they keep on going. And they make that fifth lap, and they're being mocked, and their God's being blasphemed, and their mama's being called names. But they make that fifth lap, and they come around, and still don't make any sense because nothing's happening. The walls aren't cracking. No bricks are falling, but they make that sixth lap, and they come around again. Now they start on the seventh, and everybody's just mocking them, making fun of them, but they get around the seventh time, and nothing is happening. Nothing's bricks falling. Nothing's cracking, but they shout, and everything makes sense all at once. The full title of the message is God's way always makes sense eventually. Have a seat. Thank you, J.D. I appreciate it. Listen to me real carefully. God laid out a plan that, humanly speaking, made zero sense. And it didn't make any more sense as they were going. As a matter of fact, it made less sense as the days went on because there was no evidence that anything was happening. And yet, when they got all the way through, everything happened. If they'd stopped on the first day, nothing would have happened. It never would have made sense. Stopped on the second day, nothing would have ever happened, and nothing would have made sense. Quit on the third day, nothing happens, nothing makes sense. Quit on the fourth, fifth, or sixth day, nothing happens, nothing makes sense. Quit on the first lap of the seventh day, nothing ever happens, nothing makes sense. Quit on the third lap of the seventh day, nothing ever happens, nothing makes sense. If they quit on the sixth lap, and said, we're done with this. We are tired of being made fun of. We're tired of nothing happening. We're going home. Then nothing ever happens, and nothing ever makes sense. But because they kept walking another day, and another day, and another day, and another lap, and another lap, and another lap, and another lap, finally, all of God's plan unfolds all at once. You're going to walk with God in your life. You're going to encounter some things that don't make any sense. And then you're going to look for what instructions He gives, and the instructions He gives aren't going to seem to make any sense. But if you just keep on going today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month, mark it down. God's way always makes sense eventually. Amen. Joseph is told that he will end up as the one who before whom all his brothers bow. Instead, he ends up getting sold into Egypt, into slavery, and nothing makes sense, but 22 years later, everything makes sense when his brothers bow. David is anointed as king as about a 15-year-old, and then nothing makes sense until 15 years later when he is finally anointed as king. God's way always makes sense eventually. The problem is we get in a hurry and we get discouraged and we quit because we don't see anything happen. But Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. First part of the verse says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Yeah. If you're going to get God's best for your life, and if things are going to ever make sense, you're going to have to walk with Him every single day, even when nothing makes sense, because it will all make sense in His time. Remember that old man that started off the race, that old Cliff Young guy? Everybody took off and left him in the dust. He's just... Just shuffling. The way they ran these races, they'd run all day, put up a little tent on the side of the road, go to bed for about 7 or 8 hours, get up and run again the next day. Cliff Young didn't know that. They put up their tents, went to bed, and Cliff Young just kept on shuffling. All through the night, he didn't stop. He just kept shuffling. Next morning, they wake up, look out, and here comes a zombie down the road. Still shuffling. They said, the old man's still going. He's gaining on us. Reporters went up to him and said, you didn't sleep last night. Why? He said, I ain't going to. They said, what do you mean you ain't going to? Till when? Till the race is done. They said, this is a 5-day race. You can't stay up the entire time. Yeah, I can. They went running again. The runners go to sleep that night. Cliff Young just keeps on doing this number. 61-year-old man just keeps on shuffling. They wake up the next day, get out of their tents. He's closer than he was the other day. They take off running. Several hours later, they go to sleep. Cliff Young just keeps on shuffling all the way through the night. They wake up. He's a little bit ahead of them. They have to run him down and get past him and go off into the distance. They go to sleep that night thinking the old man's got to die before tonight. There ain't no way he's making it through. But that night, while they were sleeping, He shuffled right by all of them and just kept shuffling all night long. And just kept shuffling. And he finished the race 9 hours ahead of the second place runner. A 61-year-old potato farmer won a 530-something mile race 9 hours ahead of the nearest 30-year-old competitor. They put him on the stand, gave him his medal, and then they handed him a check for $10,000, and he went, "You mean I get money?" He didn't have a clue. I just wanted to run. So then he turned around and gave the money to charity, became one of Australia's favorite sons, and scientists started studying what he did. They found out something really unusual. The most efficient way to run for a long period of time, it's just like that. They now call it the Young Shuffle, and everybody runs the race the exact same way the old potato farmer did. If he'd quit anywhere along the way, if he'd stopped, if he'd given up, he wouldn't have won anything, and he never would have gotten God's best for his life. Listen to me. You may not be able to run. There may be days where you can't hardly jog for the Lord, but there'll never be a day you can't just, "Lord, I'm going to shuffle on one more day. I may not be able to go fast, but I'm going to go. I'm not going to quit. Lord, my heart's breaking, but I'm not going to quit. Lord, I got the weight of the world on my shoulders, but I'm not going to quit. Lord, I'm so discouraged, but I'm not going to quit." If you just keep on shuffling on, God's way always makes sense eventually. Don't quit. Just keep shuffling another day. Let's all stand heads, but eyes are closed. If I could have someone make the way to the piano, please, and someone come and get ready to lead a hymn of invitation, if you would. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I know this. I know that I'm saved. I have repented of my sins. I've trusted what Christ did on Calvary. If I died before I even got to the parking lot, I know for a fact I'd go to heaven." If you can say that, would you slip your hand up where I can see it? God bless you. You can put them down. I'm not pointing you out or embarrass you in any way. You have my word. But with myself and the pastor looking, last night, family of VBS here, would you please be honest? If you're here and you say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved." If that's you, would you slip your hand up good and high where I can see it? We'll acknowledge it. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you. That was very quick. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. There's two. Thank you so much. I see two so far. Any others? Any others? One young man's already come that raised his hand, "Preacher, if you want to send anybody, that's fine." There's another one right there. I see a third. You that raise your hand, won't you slip out? Go ahead and come. Just slip out and come. You've already got some here. Just slip out and come. You're fine. Just come on. Just come join them. While they're at the altar and while these others are coming, got another young man slipping out this way. Praise the Lord. While they're coming, this young lady said she needs to come. Yeah, let that young man out. While you're coming, if you're a child of God here tonight and you are facing some really hard things that you don't understand, would you mind raising your hand where I can see it? I see hands slipping up all across the building. Thank you so much. Then I just want you to do one thing. I just want you to make your way to the altar and kneel down and say, "Lord, I will keep on shuffling. Lord, by your grace, with your help, I will not quit at all until everything in your way makes sense. I will go till you grant me the victory." If you'll do that, just slip out and come right now. While she's playing, just slip out and come. I see folks moving. Good. Just come. Just join them. Good. See folks moving across the auditorium. Just slip out and come. Young or old, just slip out and come. Thank God for these who are coming. Just join them. Preacher, I just need to keep on shuffling. Got some things going on. Just come join these. Just come join these, the altar. Still got room, still got time. In just a second, I'm going to pray over you. But if you need to come and pray before the Lord and commit to Him that you'll just keep on shuffling on, if you'll just come, you'll just come and pray. I'm going to pray over you before we turn over to the pastor. Just come. Still see folks moving. We'll give you just another minute or two to come before I pray. Just come. I'm going to pray. You feel free to join us at the altar during the prayer if you like. Thank God for these who are here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are and for all you've done. Lord, thank you above all for Calvary, where you so freely gave your Son on our behalf so we could be saved. Lord, three during this meeting have already gotten saved. There's some of the altar being dealt with about salvation. Now, I pray they'll understand it, and I pray they'll truly get saved. I pray they'll truly be born again this very night. But Lord, many others at the altar and no doubt still in the pews, praying about some hard things that they're facing, some things that make them want to quit. I pray, dear God, that you'd help them to understand the secret of spiritual victory, which is just to keep shuffling on for the Lord another day. Lord, help them to know they don't have to be the biggest, toughest, strongest, most spiritual giant. Just have to have the character, Lord, to get up another day and another day and another day and keep shuffling off the Lord, because the victory is not ours, the victory is yours, and it's in your time. I pray, Lord, that you'll clear the mountains and the walls out of their way. I pray, Lord, you'd help them never to quit till they stand in your presence and hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Help them to trust you, dear Lord. Help them to truly know and truly believe that you do have everything under control, and that you haven't missed anything, and that your plan still does work. Help them to have that faith, that confidence, that peace, that assurance. I pray, dear God, that no matter what they go through, they'll be able to be counted on, because those who shuffle on for the Lord have others shuffling behind them. Please help every one of us, dear Lord, to always do right. May we never be among the ranks of those who quit and give up and give in too early. Would you just help us to continue, Lord? Just help us to keep going. God, for everything you do, we'll gratefully give you the glory. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name.